Hey, it's Monday. Welcome to a new week. Thank you very much for being out there. We definitely do appreciate you as you move to our midday slot with us. We're on 1 to 4 every single day. And I want to say right off the top, John, before we even get to a dominating Lakers Saturday night victory, that we are giving away a 2021 Mazda CX-30. And what you've got to do is pay it, and it's from OC Mazda. You got to pay attention to everything we say today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There will be a pop quiz Friday at 3:15. Get a chance to win a $100 gas card if you can answer all five questions. Plus, you get one of only four keys that could start the brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson and OC Mazda. So pay attention to everything, and let's start with the Lakers, who were incredible on Saturday night. AD and LeBron, a historic performance for them.
So you thought they were incredible?
I did.
Most Laker fans I heard from were disappointed. They thought the game was closer than it should have been. You disagree?
Well, there was this weird sort of missing man scrappiness about
the Ewing theory
about Portland. Yeah, it was that. I mean, they hung around a lot, but I mean, in the end, those numbers for AD and for LeBron are tough to deny.
Well, that's what you saw on Saturday is what scares the rest of the league, that LeBron and AD will just take over the game. And, you know, they only played basically the same amount of minutes that they play during the season.
Yes.
In important games against teams like the Clippers and maybe the Bucks, they'll play 40 minutes.
Yep.
LeBron only played 34, and he had 38 points in the 34 minutes. And or he had 36 points.
36, 10, and 10.
And AD had 43.
Yep.
In 36 minutes. That's what's scaring the crap out of everybody. LeBron's plus minus was plus 20. AD's was plus 15. And the people that are picking the Lakers to win it are basically circling that. No team has an answer for those two guys.
Well, and John, sassy stat. AD and LeBron became the first pair of teammates in NBA history to each score 35 on 70% shooting in a playoff game. That is just lights-out performance.
Well, they were 28 for 37 combined. 28
yes.
for 37. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And LeBron clinched, averaging a triple-double for the entire series. That's actually only the second time he's done that in his career. The other time, the 2017 NBA Finals. So LeBron averaged a triple-double in that series, only the second time he's done that in his career. We'll let you know, by the way, we're also following the baseball trade deadline, which has just passed about 3 minutes ago. And I talked to some people earlier today, and the Dodgers were definitely in on trying to acquire Josh Hader from Milwaukee. Now, sometimes it takes some time for these trades to actually make it through the pipeline. There have been a lot of big moves, including the Padres, who added an ace in Mike Clevenger and a closer, Trevor Rosenthal, from Kansas City. The Padres are going to be a real force in the National League. In fact, may wind up being the second-best team in the National League and a team that the Dodgers would ultimately see in the postseason, and it would not be an easy matchup.
Well, and it might win you the bet. You know, the bet you and I made was, I said Dodgers run away with the division, they win by at least five games. This makes the Padres very, you know, the season's half over.
Yeah, yeah.
So this makes the Padres a real contender to get inside that five-game window that you and I bet $5,000 in mythical money on. You say, nope, coming down to the last weekend, I've said from the beginning, Dodgers run away with it. This makes the Padres a legit contender to finish within five games of the Dodgers,
sure,
don't you think?
Sure. And I think it makes the Padres a legit candidate to go to the World Series.
In fact, you don't want them in the three game. You absolutely do not want to play the Padres now in the three-game little mini bogus COVID season playoff plan.
Because now they throw Clevenger and Paddock in a short series. They look really, really good, and Rosenthal solidifies that bullpen. San Diego is really good. Tatis is just unreal. He's now batting .315, 13 homers, 31 RBIs, and 7 stolen bases.
Yeah, he's just a monster, and if they make the playoffs, he's one of the leading candidates for MVP.
If I'm Rob Manfred, I'm putting him in every promo I've got for Major League Baseball. This is Fernando Tatis Jr. Say hello to the future of the game.
When is the last time Rob Manfred did the right thing?
You know, he's had some ham-handed moves lately.
Yeah. So, maybe he'll surprise you. But let me circle back to the Lakers for a second because I want to ax you something, as Michael would say. I don't know how much you noticed, but before the playoffs, there were a ton of people who picked against the Lakers. I mean, big-name, famous people.
Lakers and Clippers.
So I don't know if you caught this clip over the weekend. We're going to play it. It runs for a couple of minutes. Okay. I just want you – you're going to wreck – I'm not going to say who these people are because Amanda gets all bent if we ever mention the name of the competition, but you'll hear several voices in here you recognize, and among them a lot of ESPN voices. You'll hear Jay Williams. You'll hear Stephen A. You'll hear some other people from other places. But just pay attention to the content – of how convinced all these national voices were that the Lakers weren't just going to have trouble with Portland, but lose. Listen to this.
The Portland Trailblazers, they might have a chance to beat the Lakers.
If the Portland Trailblazers get in the playoffs, they will beat the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round.
I am picking Portland to beat the Lakers. The Lakers cannot defend the three. Last night, Denver shot 57% on threes. Did not miss any in the fourth. Denver's backups did not miss any in the fourth. If you can't shoot the three and you can't defend the three, you can't beat Portland.
If you can make shots and you have elite guard play, you can beat the Lakers. I am very, very worried about the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round. If they play the Portland Trailblazers, I'm not going to go as far as to say it's a foregone conclusion they'll lose, but they could. And here's the prediction I will make. That particular series would go 7 games.
The Lakers should be worried and they should be scared because for asking who going to guard Bron, who going to guard AD, which are valid questions. Who the heck gonna guard Dame? That's my real concern. Mm. On any given night, we've seen LeBron, and you've talked about it recently. Like LeBron, if he go off, he might go off for 35. If Dame go off, Dame going off about 45, 50.
Yeah.
Plus you got CJ. Plus you got Nurk. And then you got Melo, who's showing himself to be the Hall of Famer that he truly is all over again. So I look at the totality of the Trailblazers, and I think that the Lakers will be in big, big trouble.
I'm concerned about the Lakers. I'm concerned. They may go down in history as the third team to lose to an eighth seed in the first round, because this is the best eighth seed that the NBA has ever seen in NBA history.
When the Blazers win tomorrow, they'll be matched up against the Lakers. And look, I don't say this as a hot take. I say it as fact. The Blazers have a better starting five than the Lakers. The Blazers have a better starting five than the Lakers.
Look at the Lakers depth chart. Look at the Lakers roster. Look at the Trailblazers roster. The Blazers have a better roster.
All right. So, and by the way, Mace, I could play you 2 more minutes. That was 2 minutes.
What a bunch of dum-dums.
I can play you 2 more minutes of that. Here's my question. The Lakers went 52-19 in the regular season. They earned the number one seed. They have LeBron and AD. I know I'm biased because I'm a Lakers apologist and I work for the team. But what the hell are these people looking at? What are they looking at?
I think this is a function of every day saying, I need a hot take. I need a hot take. Blazers beat the Lakers. That's my hot take today.
Well, that's a cold take, man.
It is a cold take. It's an ice cold take. But I really think it is a function of that. And it's fair to say that there's never probably been another 8 seed as tough and accomplished as Portland. They're not your average 8 seed. And so I think these talking head people, these so-called experts, I'm using air quotes, they looked at it and said, all right, so I think they can take the Lakers down. It was not close. The series was not close. The Lakers absolutely They did drop one, but they absolutely dominated the series. And I think we saw the kind of team that is going to win a championship. I caught glimpses, especially in game four. Especially in game four, I looked at it and said, you know what? This is a championship team. I see it. I get it. This is it. They played a little less like that against Portland on Saturday, but I feel really good about going into this next series against the winner of Houston and Oklahoma OKC. City, which will be played tonight.
And by the way, keep track, because obviously we are. Keep track of all the people that are going to pick Houston in this series. Let me say this.
Really?
I have great. You know this, Mace.
You're the one that gets you. You've got Houston as a chance to win it. Win it all.
A half chance.
Yeah.
They're one of my 4.5. And by the way, I may have screwed something up. When we come back, I'll point out that Boston may have Toronto's number. You know, I picked Toronto to go to the finals.
I know.
But there's some stats about Boston and
sassy
Toronto.
Stats.
Very sassy stats that I'll give you when we come back. But here's the thing. Houston's good. I think it's going 6 or 7 games. But the Lakers are going to win. And the Lakers are going to beat them because the Lakers are better. And they have and 52-19 and 4-1 in the first round is 56-20. You know, you are what your record says you are. Bill Parcells, 56-20.
Yeah.
And all, like you say, it's hot takes and it's people doubting LeBron. Every year people want to doubt LeBron. And all LeBron does every time he goes out in the playoffs is show you that he's still probably the best player in the world.
Right, right.
And particularly the best postseason player in the world.
No question, no question.
And people just, for whatever reason, maybe it's because they're the Lakers, think, and there were some very respectable names on that list.
Sure there were.
Barkley, what is he thinking?
Well, Barkley's just wrong. He's wrong for fun.
Yeah, well,
he's wrong on
purpose. You can take the prepositional phrase "for fun" out of that. Barkley's just wrong.
But it's fun. I mean, he's running around the studio with a broom. I mean, he's just
Shaq
clowning it up.
Snapped that broom in half.
Yeah, but clowning it up, which I'm okay with. By the way, I think Houston wins tonight, and then I think the Lakers beat him in 5.
And if that happens, that means the Lakers would start Wednesday. The NBA has already announced that. So if they don't win, my guess is if it goes 7, I think Lakers game 1 is Friday. But I'm guessing. I know for a fact the NBA has released that if Houston wins tonight, game 1 Lakers Rockets Wednesday night 6:00.
Got it. All right. Coming up for you, 1:30, we'll be joined by Bob Nightingale. We'll get the very latest
on
the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Tons of moves. It looks like the Dodgers are not part of any of them. There were conversations between them and the Milwaukee Brewers for Josh Hader, which would have been just a crazy bullpen. But it looks like that did not go through. Those conversations culminate with
the
trade.
I want to check something. Did Nightingale get moved? Because I had him at 3:30. You have him at 1:30?
3:30.
Okay,
yeah.
So I only missed by 2 hours, which is a really good mark for me.
For you, that's actually good.
Yeah,
you normally miss by 3.
Yeah. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back in middays, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? It's Monday. Major League Baseball trade deadline has come and gone now. There were a lot of deals, but the Dodgers were not part of them.
Yeah, so this Mike Clevenger, who was on the Indians, and he was one of the knuckleheads that went out.
Yeah.
Is going to San Diego, and Clevenger's really good.
Yeah, he is excellent.
He's a knucklehead. But he's really good. Lindsey, he was on your Indians. Is he like number one starter good? He wasn't for the Indians, but could he be a number one starter? I mean, Paddock is kind of their number one starter in San Diego, Mace, but he's young, right?
He's very young. He's
22,
in his second year.
23 years old.
First
Lindsey, can
season.
Clevenger be a number one starter?
I mean, he could be. He's been inconsistent this year, and I know he's caused a lot of problems in the clubhouse, so that's the main reason why they traded him. But I guess
probably
the only reason, right?
He's not a bad pitcher.
There was a lot of issues.
Right. There were just off the field issues with him.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about him is I'm surprised the Indians gave up. The problems must be pretty severe because they've got he's under team control. So
right.
you don't just get him for now. You get him next year.
They don't put up with crap. They traded Trevor Bauer, Clevinger, and who else?
Yeah, they keep
Kluber over the last year, and they still have one of the best pitching staffs in the American League.
Yes, they do. One of the very best, and arguably the best starter in the game right now in Shane Bieber.
They can afford to give him up. All right, so I mentioned Mesa. I may have been wrong about something. You know,
yes.
I picked Toronto to come out of the East.
Uh huh.
So one of the reasons I picked Toronto is that they beat the Lakers twice this year, so I saw them in person, and they just look really good, and they're really well coached.
Yes.
In the games in the bubble, Toronto is 11-0 against everybody except Boston.
Hmm.
They're 0-2 against Boston, losing by a combined 40 points.
Wow.
And during the season, you know, Toronto no one has beaten Toronto more than twice, except Boston, who's now 4-1 against them. It just seems like this is a really bad matchup for the Raptors. The Celtics are 4-1 against them in five games this year, 2-0 against them in the bubble, and beat them by 40 points. So now, all of a sudden, my pick of Toronto to like jump up and surprise Milwaukee, they may not even get to Milwaukee.
Right.
Boston's doing this without Gordon Hayward, and Hayward's going back into the bubble probably tomorrow. He's got a bad ankle. I don't know how much he'll play. But Boston didn't need him in game one. They just routed him, and game two's tonight.
Yeah, and I think it was George Karl last week.
Game two tomorrow night.
Boston was one of his teams that he thought could get out. I think he was Boston, Toronto. He's got Clippers, Lakers, Boston, Milwaukee, and Toronto. Those are his five. You've got Houston with a one half point of a chance.
So here's my four teams. I like Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, Raptors, and a puncher's chance for the Rockets.
Okay.
Who was it last week that says I'm just a complete – Michael Wilbon says I'm a complete idiot for giving the Rockets a puncher's chance.
I'm totally with Wilbon.
Well, you know
totally
me. I've got an inexplicable man crush on Russell Westbrook.
Oh, he's a phenomenal player. I mean, he's great when he came back the other night. And I think they will win tonight. But I just don't know how the Rockets, given their size, can contend – with a Lakers team, particularly when they go smaller, when they go with AD at the five, I think AD is just going to eat them up.
I do too, except that I saw the Rockets right after they traded Clint Capella.
Yep.
And went small.
Yep.
They beat the Lakers in Staples Center, and then they beat them again in the bubble. But I'm now realizing that the Lakers seeding games in the
were
bubble
meaningless, absolutely meaningless.
Were completely experimental for Frank Vogel and his staff.
Yes, I
don't
agree.
Think they necessarily put a priority on winning as much as they put a priority on auditioning guys and trying different stuff. And so I don't know what the way Houston beats teams is they make their threes. They take 50 a game.
Yep,
5-0.
And by the way, and they'll shoot themselves into a win.
Right. So that's what scares you. But that's why I only give him a puncher's chance. But I give him a chance.
All right. So, John, Leonard Fournette.
Weird, huh?
Was cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars today.
You want the Rams to pick him up? The Rams don't have a bell cow running back anymore.
And that is what everybody is talking about. Apparently, he and Jalen Ramsey are very close. They've got $4.4 million under the cap. He's $4.15 million, so they'd have to make a small adjustment.
Cut a guy near the end of the roster, and he's in.
Here's my response to that. I want Cam Akers. I do not want Leonard Fournette. I want Cam Akers.
Wait a minute. You need to be selfish here. Why not both? Why not get them both? Cam Akers is a rookie.
They spent the 56th pick on
right.
the draft
wait,
on
Mace,
a guy that they intend to be the starter.
When's the last time Leonard Fournette played 16 games. Cam Akers could, yeah, but sign Fournette to a 1-year deal.
Well, you who don't cares? Even have to sign him for a one year. All you have to do is claim him.
Who, Mace, who was that guy that the Rams brought in 2 years ago off the scrap heap and he led the team in rushing? He outrushed Gurley.
It was that little bowling ball of a guy.
Yeah. You know
CJ Anderson.
About. Right.
CJ Anderson.
There's your example. Use him like they use CJ Anderson. Bring Fournette in. Fournette one time had 230 yards rushing in a game, in one game. Bring him in. If Cam Akers is better, just sit him like they sat Gurley. The Rams are in it. Rams have experience in sitting big name running backs. If Akers is better, Akers will play. But why not go for both?
Because I think they've got other priorities. If you've got $4 million under the cap and you intend to do something at the trade deadline, save that money. They're going to try to do something at the trade deadline to shore up whatever area they need help. Like, for example, I think they've got a very, very, very extremely average offensive line. They may want to make a move for an offensive lineman at the trade deadline.
But remember, at the trade deadline, you can send someone out that you get. You bring someone else in. I mean, you're not hamstrung from making a trade if you're at the cap. You trade one of your linemen and you get a lineman back, or you trade one of your extra wide receivers and you get a lineman back. I mean,
in 3 years, Leonard Fournette, how many touchdowns do you think he scored?
In the last three?
The 3 years of his career.
Oh, he's only played three. Okay.
Yeah.
I would guess probably an average of about 5 a season. I'll say 15.
Yeah, 14. You know how many Christian McCaffrey had last year?
Like 20 by himself?
19 by himself.
Yeah. Well, Aaron Jones, who was in that draft.
Aaron Jones also had 19 last year.
And was in Fournette's draft and went like, 150th, and Fournette went fourth.
Even Gurley in a down year scored 15 last year. So still outscored Fournette's career. I am very content with our running back situation. I want to see more of Darrell Henderson. I like Malcolm Brown a lot, and I want to see Cam Akers as the bell cow back. I think they're going back to bell cow back.
Even as a rookie.
Huh. I think he'll win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, no. The Offensive Rookie of the Year is that is the running back in Kansas City, the rookie from LSU, Clyde Helaire. He's gonna rush for 1,500 yards.
I'm telling you, do not be surprised if Cam Akers does that. Do not be surprised because they seem focused on him right now.
I think the Rams are going to throw – as much as they're going to run. I think Goff could put up big numbers.
And remember, Cam Akers is an all-purpose back. He's a great receiver.
So you think he could be like Gurley-ish from three years ago?
Gurley-ish. I think they're looking for
It sounds like that's an insult if you call somebody Gurley-ish.
Yes.
But it's not. It's meant to – it's a comp to Todd Gurley when he was good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So coming up for you, we will circle back to the trade deadline and what the Dodgers didn't do that might have made a big difference. Plus, John, I've got an impossible question for you, for Lindsay, and for Jorge.
No question is impossible.
Yeah, this one is impossible, but I can't wait to hear your answers. Hang on a second. There's a brand new thing that I am going to read that I'm so excited
about,
John.
You're desperately looking for as we speak.
I am so excited about it.
Yeah.
And it's not on my page, so we'll have to take a break, and I'll get it coming up for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What's up? It's Monday. A lot going on today. Thanks very much for tuning in. The Lakers have pushed their way to the Western Conference semifinals. We are waiting to see who they will play. Houston will play Oklahoma City a little bit later on tonight, and that will set, that's game six. So if OKC wins, it's going to go to a seventh game. If OKC loses, if Houston advances, it'll probably be Houston versus the Lakers on Wednesday night?
Not probably, for sure.
For sure, okay.
The NBA's already announced it. So
okay, got it.
If Houston wins tonight, they play at 6 o'clock tonight on TNT. If the Rockets win that game, it's Rockets-Lakers game one Wednesday at 6, for sure. And they'll announce the rest of the Lakers-Rockets schedule right after the game tonight. That's if Houston wins. And as you said, if Oklahoma City wins, then it's game 7 on Wednesday night, and then the Lakers schedule will come out after that. Most likely the Lakers and the winner would meet Friday in game one.
Got it. Okay, so random question. Ready? Somebody
this is your impossible-to-answer question?
Impossible-to-answer question. And okay. Jorge, you be ready. Lindsay, you be ready. Relative to the population at large, how do you rate your physical attractiveness? How physically attractive are you?
Well, Mason,
Give it number 1 to 10.
Okay, so you and I have already been described in a sports media column in Arkansas.
That is true.
As physically flawless.
Physically flawless, which I will take every day of the week, although
that's when we were on TV, and that's before you let your hair go gray or anyone knew you were gay. That was the old Mason.
And P.S., that was 25 years ago.
No, it wasn't that long.
Sure, we were on in 98.
So 20 years.
Okay, 20 years. Close enough.
Really?
It's been that long.
22 years?
Yep.
So I don't think we can lean on that anymore.
Nope. So give me a 1 to 10 score. How attractive do you think you are?
As a 57-year-old or just compared to the rest of the population?
Just compared to the rest of the population.
All right. Outside Los Angeles.
That's totally
solid,
true.
Solid 7.
Yep.
Inside LA, 5.
Yep. That's about right.
Yeah.
If I had stayed in Toledo, I would be an 8. But I came to LA and I am a 4.5.
Yeah.
4.5, especially right now.
Jorge, what do you think?
Outside of LA, I would say a 7. Inside of LA, I'm like a 5, 5.5.
Yeah. Lindsay, how about you?
As a woman, I'm not comfortable answering this question.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Let me switch it up then. Compared to the broader population, how intelligent are you?
I feel like that's much harder to answer.
No.
It is harder.
I will answer it. Outside Los Angeles, solid 8. Inside Los Angeles, 10.
Yeah, it works the reverse.
It does.
You're absolutely right. It works the reverse.
People here are so stupid that I go right to the top.
Yeah. I think I'm a legit 9 wherever I live.
A 9 that can travel is better than a 10 in L.A.
If I didn't spend the night burning some flour, I think I would have a higher score. But I think 9 is where I am intelligence-wise. Lindsay, I heard you laugh. You don't think I'm a 9?
No, I just think it's funny that you think that highly of yourself.
Well, I gave myself attractiveness a 4.5.
Yeah, Mason had like a 1,500 on his SATs, Lindsay. He's really smart.
Okay. That was also 40-something years ago, right?
Nobody asked to put a time limit on it.
Yeah, I know, Lindsay.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Life experience. I've only gotten smarter.
Now, okay, since we're going down the road of unanswerable questions.
Yes.
Can I get you guys to weigh in on, this is a major, I don't know if you heard this, but this is a major controversy on our game broadcast.
Okay.
Have you guys heard about the Michael Thompson pie controversy?
No.
Okay, so here's what happened. Need all of you to weigh in.
Okay.
Michael and I love this place called Gus's Fried Chicken. Michael and I both love fried chicken.
Yeah, where is it at? It's Memphis. Memphis or something? Yeah.
Memphis. But a couple years ago, they opened up one in L.A., and it's about 10 minutes from the station. So, Doug Mann, our statistician for the games, sends a text to Michael, and he says, I'm going to Gus's before the game. This was either on Saturday or Thursday, I don't remember, but he says, I'm going to Gus's before the game. Do you want anything?
Right.
Michael responds, yes. Get me one of those coconut pies.
Ooh.
They have these great coconut pies.
That sounds good.
They're
all
indescribable.
Over that.
All right. So Doug buys the pie, brings it into the station, hands it to Michael, and tells Michael that he says, you owe me $20 for the pie. Now, Michael is outraged.
Really?
He thinks Doug texting him and saying, "I'm going to Gus's, do you want anything?" indicates that Doug was offering to get him something for free. Oh. Michael is offended that Doug asked him for the money. Now, I say that when someone asks you if you want something, not only should you offer to pay, you should expect to pay. Adam Bronstein, our producer, and Laura Romo, who was our engineer on Saturday, both agree with Michael that Doug should not have asked him for the money. Now, I ask three of you, Jorge, I'll start with you. Should Michael have paid Doug $20 for the pie, or was it inferred by the first text that Doug was offering to get him something for free?
I think Doug was offering something for free. Every time I offer somebody, if I buy coffee.
Like if you say I'm going somewhere, can I get you anything?
Yes, I offer it, and I don't expect you to pay me back because I'm offering it.
So you think you side with Michael?
Right.
All right,
you
Lindsay,
side with Michael?
Yes.
Now, Lindsay, how about you?
I disagree completely. I think that
you agree
anytime
with me.
You ask, anytime you ask someone, do you want something, then you should expect to pay for it. And I think if you don't ask and you just buy it, like let's say he knew Michael really liked the coconut pie there and he just bought it and brought it to him and said, "Here, I know you really like that coconut pie. I bought this for you."
Right.
That's totally different. But since he asked him, then yeah, you owe him the money for it.
Yeah, I am with Lindsay and with Doug Mann.
Oh, and me. You're with me, yeah.
And with you.
Yeah.
If Doug Mann calls Michael and says, Can I pick something up for you? And he says, coconut pie. Doug picks up the pie. Michael pays him the money.
I don't understand why this is a thing. And I was shocked that I was the only one that has the position that all three, me, you, and Lindsay, have now. I think Michael's out of his mind. We should call Michael and have him present his argument.
Let's
take a break, and when we come back, we'll see if we can track him down. To me, he has no argument. Not only is it rude for Michael not to offer to pay Doug, because Doug did him a favor, but what's weird here is that Michael I'm not making this up. Michael's the most generous guy on the road that we travel with. He picks up the tab for everybody, for everything. So I'm shocked that he's offended by
this. Michael picks up every tab?
Everyone. Like, Mace, if you go to dinner on the road, always invite Michael, because he'll pay for the whole dinner.
Get out of here.
I swear to God.
Really?
Oh, he's the most generous person when it comes to...
Like, and he will not give Doug $20 for that pie.
Not only... Well, he finally broke down and gave it to him because he felt guilty, but he's completely offended, and he calls Doug out on it now whenever he sees him. "Hey, you cheapskate. I can't believe you made me pay for that pie."
Guys, but when I do it because, okay, I'll get you today, you get me tomorrow.
And there you go. Okay, I get that part.
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
But this basic exchange that I described, if I say, "Hey, Mace, I'm going to Yard House. You want anything?" And Mason says to me, "Yeah, pick me up some chicken wings."
Yeah.
I would get the wings, and when I get back, I would expect Mace to say to me, "Hey, thank you. What do I owe you for the wings?"
Correct.
Michael thinks that, no, once I made the initial offer, that's it.
Oh, that is terrible. That is terrible. Get Michael. Hey,
by the way, we should take calls on this.
I'm for that.
877-710-ESPN, the great Michael Thompson pie controversy. Who's right? Mason and I, who say Michael absolutely should have paid for the pie, or Michael that says, the minute you offer, "Can I get you anything?" That means no money changes hands.
Right. Yeah, Michael is so wrong here. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. I need a hot take. Our house is a very, very, very fine house. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? So there's a major controversy that has broken out. As we get ready, by the way, for Game 6, Rockets Thunder, helping to determine who the Lakers will play in the Western Conference semifinals. And apparently Doug Mann, who's our stat expert during games, talked to Michael Thompson.
He sent him a text.
Okay, you set up the story.
Okay, so Doug texts Michael and he says, "I'm going to Gus's. This is a fried chicken place that Michael and I love. Do you want anything?" And Michael texted back, "Yes, pick me up one of those coconut pies." So Doug brings the pie back to the station and gives Michael his pie and says, "You owe me $20. And Michael says, "What? You texted me and said, do I want anything? I thought you were offering to pay." And to present his side of the argument, I strongly agree with Doug.
Me too.
To present his side of the argument is the one and only Michael Thompson. Michael, welcome to the show. Why do you think you should not have had to pay for this pie?
Because it's just common courtesy and good manners and kindness. If you call someone up and says, I'm going to get something, would you like something too? Everybody listening to us right now would assume that you're being nice enough to get me something out of the kindness of your heart, not to get it for me and then expect me to pay you for it when you hand it to me.
And you didn't feel like, Michael, at that point, you should have said, let me pay you for that.
No, because if I say I'm going someplace, you want something, I'm going to pick it up and bring it back for you and hand it to you. I don't expect you to pay for it. What kind of place were you raised in, Mace? Aren't you civilized?
I was raised in a generous place.
Wait a minute, Michael.
If Doug had done that for me, I'd have handed him the money right away.
No, being generous is getting it for free and handing it to you because you were nice enough to pick it up. That's the generous part. The other part is being cheap.
You're squeaking. you're cheap.
But Michael, you know what's interesting about this is, I just made the point that you are the most generous guy I know when it comes to picking up dinner checks. You'll always pick up the check for the whole table. But if I texted you and said, hey, like, we're going to probably have a game on Wednesday. Depends what happens tonight between our. If I said, I'm stopping by In-N-Out on the way in, and you say, get me two double-doubles, and I drop the bag off at your seat, you're not going to say to me, what do I owe you for the double-doubles?
No, because I told you to pick me up. You didn't offer to pick it up for me. You didn't say, can I bring you something? Would you like something? If you told me I'm going to stop to In-N-Out on the way, and I said, well, grab me a couple of double-doubles, I'd expect to pay for it. But on the other way that Doug Mann presented to me, it was like he was offering to be generous and get me something for free.
Okay. Poll online, Michael. Doug Mann picked up a pie for Michael Thompson. Does MT owe Doug for the pie, or was it a gift? 57% 57% say pay the man his money.
Pay him.
His money. What percentage?
57%.
Man, he got some mean people out there. That is just mean. Who does that?
Some people who are polite. They have decorum. By the way, Michael, I know you live in that fancy house. Do you live in a fancier house than Doug Mann does?
I wouldn't say so. No.
Oh, yeah. We've never been to Doug's house. Doug's house, Michael, is like Fort Knox. It's never been penetrated.
That's right. I just have a better view than Doug, but I wouldn't think it's a better house.
No, I'm actually surprised at this, that because I think the default, Michael, is when somebody offers to go out of their way and get you something, you just say, you offer to pay. You don't even think you should offer to pay.
Exactly.
Wow.
Like if somebody says, hey, I'm going to dinner, you want to join me? You know, Mace, wouldn't you think you're going to pick up the tab for the guest you just invited?
Well, that's
yes.
True.
In that scenario, if you invited me to dinner and said, let me take you to dinner, to me, that is you are picking up the tab.
Hey, George,
what's the difference?
Do you, is there a way, George, you can put Michael on lock and so Michael can hear the calls if we go to the callers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, so, Mike, we're going to take some phone calls. We're going to see if more people agree with you or with us. Here's Robert in L.A. Hey, Robert, you're on 710 ESPN. Should Michael pay
for
the pie?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Robert. Should Michael pay for the pie?
He should not pay for the pie. And first of all, I'm a huge fan. I love his son. His son is a sharpshooter. Michael, you should not pay for that pie. I mean, the man offered you something. That means he should pay. Now, if you had said something like a bigger meal, then sure, it depends on how much the cost is. If you're going to get like an entire meal, then yes, you pay.
He got an entire pie!
It's a pie. It's a pie.
A $20 pie.
That's, first of all, I don't understand why it's even $20.
It's really good. Robert, it's really good.
Michael, I think you should not pay. I think you did. You should not pay. I mean, the man offered. When he offers, that means he pays.
I feel badly for Doug, man. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Robert. Here's George, let's go to Andrew in Riverside. Andrew, you're on 710 ESPN. Should Michael have to pay for this pie?
Hey, guys, I think it can actually go both ways. I think that if Doug is offering, then it can be expected that he's picking up. But then as a courtesy, I think that Michael could offer to pay on the backside as well.
Correct. That's a moment of decorum, Michael.
No,
somebody hands you a $20 pie. You say, hey, let me get that. Hey, let me.
What do I owe you for the pie?
What do I owe you for this pie, this $20 pie?
And you expect Doug Mann to say, oh, don't bother? He ain't going to say that.
Yeah, no, that's maybe, true.
maybe Doug will say, oh, no, it's on me. Or maybe Doug will say, yeah, it was $21.46.
That is one thing Doug Mann has ever said, that something's on him.
See, Michael, I think John says you are unbelievably generous, and I will take his word for it. My observation of you is that you've got a level of cheapness to you, too.
No. I just don't like to waste money, Mace, but I love to get the final things in life.
But you grab every last bag of chips everywhere you go.
That's because I hate to see food go to waste.
Let's get Zach from Hollywood in here. Hey, Zach, should Michael have offered to pay for the pie?
Absolutely not. Michael is correct. Good afternoon, sir. It is the way that you were raised. I've actually gone out of my way to offer people something, and they've declined, I believe, because they felt they were going to have to pay for it. Let's settle it like this. About a year ago, you guys played a game with Michael that was about common courtesy, you know, clipping your nails on the airplane or brushing your hair on the airplane.
Sure.
And Michael nailed that. I think, what was he, 7 for 7 or something like that? And that was a common courtesy game that he smoked everybody on. There it is there, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Zach. Michael, I think part of the issue here is you're so generous by picking up dinner checks that you expect everyone else to be that way, and they're just not.
I don't expect people to be that way because I know some people can't afford it, so I don't expect that at all.
It's so weird to me that you wouldn't say, hey, what do I owe you for the pie?
Because he couched it as if I'm going to Gus.
Still,
and I'd like to get you a pie. Which
but
one?
He never, but
it's
Doug,
the
he
right thing to do.
But Mike, he never said it's on me. He just said I'm going by. Can I get you anything?
But anybody with common sense would assume that it's on him.
All right, Michael, we will assert that you are wrong here.
The people on the phones agree with you, Mike. We'll see how the poll comes out. Hey,
yeah.
Michael,
get a
poll fixed. Yeah, do you? That's fixed. Michael, do you think Houston wins tonight and we're playing game one on Wednesday, or do you think that series is going 7?
Yeah, I think they'll win tonight. I think they're going to shoot 75 threes, make 35 of them, they'll win.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think? How do you think the Lakers match up with Houston? It's an interesting matchup.
Boy, it's going to be an interesting matchup because it's big versus small. Houston's going to go small, spread the court up. And I'm not kidding. They're going to shoot 50 to 60 threes a game, try to just beat the Lakers that way because they know they can't match up with the Lakers size-wise. So they're going to just launch a million threes and hope that they go in, and that's the only chance they have to beat the Lakers.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun, and it could be as early as Wednesday. By the way, Michael, last thing. How was the pie?
Yeah, how was it?
$20, Mace, is worth. It's worth every bite. It's best coconut pie I've ever. And I'm from the Bahamas, the land of coconuts. I've never tasted a coconut pie like that.
It's worth every one of Doug Mann's dollars.
No, Michael eventually paid because Doug made him feel too guilty. So Michael did pay
for
the pie.
Don't worry, folks. I paid the man. Doug was going to haunt me for the rest of my life unless I paid.
All right, Michael. All right. See you on Wednesday,
maybe.
Thanks,
Michael.
Okay.
Bye.
There you go. There's Michael Thompson.
Yeah, that's just a disconnect for me. If you offer to get me anything, I would say, if you said, hey, Ireland, I'm ordering donuts. Do you want any? I'd say, yeah, give me a couple. I would say, hey, what do I owe you for the donuts? You'd probably say, don't worry about it, but I would offer.
Don't worry about it, but it would at least be an offer. Yeah. Michael is the great pie thief.
Yeah, well, that pie is good. If you ever get a chance to go to Gus's,
order that pie. Yeah, I would try it. I love coconut pie.
All right, we're doing the scoop today, right?
Yeah, the scoop is coming up next. Everything we haven't talked about yet. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.